We have two passages of scripture that we'll be reading this morning. One is in Romans and the other is in Matthew. As a way of preparing ourselves to hear God's word, let us pray. God of life, your spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Your spirit inspired the prophets and the writers of scripture. Lord, we know that it is by your spirit that we are drawn to Jesus. And your spirit helps us to acknowledge him as Lord. We ask you now to send forth your spirit on us, to give us deeper insight, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of the Easter gospel. Amen. We'll begin with an epistle reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And now, reading of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. And like the church has done through the centuries, I would like to invite you to stand out of reverence for the reading of the Gospel. You'll also get the blood flowing a little bit. But we give reverence to the gospel among us and the opportunity we get to proclaim it. Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For the fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and they took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. There's something that I have noticed over the past year. When people tell me why they came to our church, a lot of them end up saying the same thing. They say something like this: well, I felt that there had to be more to life than what I am experiencing. Y'all, I've heard over and over people say that. I just knew there's something in my soul that tells me there must be more to life than the life I've been living. Something more than just getting by, than just routine, more than just surviving. Some of you here today may be thinking the same thing. There has to be more. And I have good news for you. You're right. There is something more. And the claim of Christianity, the claim of Easter, this day that we gather to celebrate, is that more is found in Jesus. It's found in Him. Not just in His teaching and His example, but in His resurrection. There is an announcement that God has made that there's something more. Because the resurrection is not just something that happened to Jesus. It is the beginning of a whole new way of life. That new life was made possible on that first Easter morning. You know, when the women, they go to the tomb that day, something wasn't quite right, was it? It wasn't what they expected. They go to the grave where Jesus' body had been placed on Friday. And that tomb was sealed up. Earlier in that day, they had experienced one of the most cruel acts of humanity. A Roman execution. They saw it. It was a cruel and graphic demonstration of death. This happened to Jesus. They had just experienced a reality of life, the permanence of death. And with that mindset, they go to anoint Jesus' body for burial, bringing flowers. We've got a lot of flowers in here today, and they're beautiful, aren't they? But what they discover is the flowers that they have brought to place on a grave was not a grave anymore. It was empty. The stone rolled back. An astonishing new reality. And the angel says, "You are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but He's not here." No, His body hasn't been robbed. He's not missing. He's risen. And those ladies, they hear that message and they run. And inside of them is a mixture of both fear and joy. It was a new day. Nothing like this had ever happened in human history. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Changed everything. It is Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, who says that if Christ has not been raised, then my preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. Is that us? Is that us today? No. You know, what Paul is getting at is if the resurrection didn't happen, then this whole system of faith that we are participating in today, it all falls apart. But if it did happen, then it changes everything. Consider this. Outside of historical record, what is the evidence that Jesus is really alive? Think about it. What evidence? I want to make a claim this morning that you and I are the evidence. We in this room are evidence. And here's one of the most compelling reasons to believe it. And I encourage you to look at the historical record. I think it stands on its own. I think the witness of Scripture stands your scrutiny, your doubt, your questions. I think it will hold up. If there is any reason to believe, certainly start there. But then I invite you to look beyond the historical record and look at the changed lives. The lives that have been changed by the living Christ. A changed life, for me, is one of the most powerful reasons to believe in the resurrection. You know, I was talking to someone after our service on Thursday night, you know, during our fellowship time. We're standing around. And this person, I knew their story. They'd left our church a few years ago. And for reasons, she started coming back again a couple of years ago. And she said to me, she said, "I just want you to know, Jimmy, that since I have been back in church, something is different in my life." She said, "Something has changed." And I have seen evidence of that. She says to me, she said, "I have a peace like I have never experienced before." The change that she is experiencing is one of the reasons that confirms to me that Jesus is still alive. A peace that goes beyond explanation. There is evidence. Jesus is changing lives. And that's why I believe in the resurrection. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have a week of baptisms. And I'm so excited about that. People that are saying, "I have experienced Christ, a change in my life." And we're going to have baptism on Sunday night, on Tuesday night, and probably on Sunday morning as well with some of our confirmands. Y'all, I'm excited about that. Changed lives. And that's exactly where Paul goes in Romans 6. He says, the same power that broke open a tomb and raised a body in resurrection life, something that we've never experienced before, that power is now at work in us, in you and me. Y'all, that's a bold claim Paul makes. So the question is, how does it actually work? Well, listen to Romans chapter 6, verse 4 again. "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we too might live a new life. You see, Paul points to something Christians have practiced from the very beginning that is concrete. Baptism. In the church of Paul's day, new Christians were often baptized on Easter Sunday. He says that when we are baptized, that we are united in Christ's death. That we are buried with Him and also raised with Him. Now, here's where this gets really powerful. Paul is saying that what happened to Jesus also happens to you and me. This isn't just a symbol of our faith, but it is participation. It's where the big story of Jesus becomes your personal story from death to life. Baptism marks that. It celebrates that in a very outward way of something God is doing on the inside. And it shows up on the outside. You see, baptism is where our story gets rewritten. You are no longer living in Adam's story. Sinful humanity's story in slavery to the old system of sin and death and brokenness. But you've been brought into Jesus' story. The risen life, alive and free in Christ. That's possible for us. Because of this power that is working in us. And we are not just forgiven, but we are living a completely new reality, the risen life. Now, Paul shows us what this new life actually looks like. And here are a few characteristics of it. One of the first things he says is that I've been changed. Changed. Paul says we were buried, changed, past tense, and raised so that we too might walk in newness of life. The word newness there doesn't just mean recent, but it means a new kind of life, a new quality of life. You are no longer defined by your past, your mistakes, your failures, or your worst moments. That version of you has been buried. It's like going back into your closet and pulling out clothes that don't fit you anymore. Those aren't who you are anymore. That old you is in the past, has been changed. Y'all remember double-breasted suits? My first suit was a double-breasted suit, a black suit with white pinstripes on it. I used to wear it with a dark blue shirt underneath, almost like a navy blue shirt, with a silver tie. Man, I look sharp. You know what else I look like? A gangster. No offense to anyone who might be wearing a double-breasted suit this morning. I don't think I see any out there. Leave it in the closet, man. Y'all, that suit is still hanging in my closet. It's still in there. I might need it one day. No, I'll never wear that suit again. You might say I have a new style now. A new style. That's the essence of what Paul is saying. You don't have to wear that old life anymore. Your past is no longer your identity. Your identity is now in Christ. And this new life, I want to tell you, it looks good on you. Especially when you wear it. For me, that's evidence. Jesus is alive. He can still change lives. So Paul says in this risen life that we are to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Y'all, those of us that have been filled with resurrection life, not only have we been changed in the past, but we're still being changed right now. Right now, we're being changed. You know, throughout this season of Lent, we've been fasting and praying. And y'all, this has been really good for me this year. Especially the second half of Lent. I've had some breakthroughs in my life. Some changes. God is doing some things in me. Y'all, He's not done with any of us. And as we grow old together, and we live life together, we see those changes continuing to show up. He's still working on us. We're no longer a slave to sin, and we're no longer stuck in fear, in our habits and addictions, our shame, or cycles that make us feel like we're stuck. The point that Paul is making is that we can live a life of freedom in Jesus each day. He has the power to set us free and to transfer us into an entirely new kingdom. A kingdom where Jesus is Lord. And He is King. He's King. Is He King of your life? Is He King today? Is He King today? The last thing I want to say about the risen life is its future. We will be changed. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, Paul says, we will certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Paul reminds us that this isn't the end of our story, not today, not tomorrow. But one day our broken bodies, they'll be restored, disease, it'll be gone. Those old stiff knees you woke up with today, you're going to get new knees, a new shoulder, a body that doesn't age or become diseased or defective. And this old enemy called death that we all resist is going to be completely defeated. That's good news. And y'all, this world that we live in as well, you know, it's not just us that gets restored, but it's also the entire creation will be made new. Paul says that in chapter 8. What a beautiful image of all creation. You see, the resurrection didn't just happen to Jesus, but it's coming. It's coming for you and me too. And because of Jesus, we have this hope. You are no longer in Adam. You are no longer under sin. You are no longer ruled by death and defined by it. But you are now in Christ, alive to God, part of a new creation. This is our identity in the risen life. And here's the question. Have you stepped into it? Some of you today, you believe in Jesus, but you're still living like that old life defines you. It's time to bury it. Move on from it. Let it go. It doesn't have to define you anymore. For others of you, you've never made that step before. You've never trusted Christ. You've never repented of that old life, that life of sin and slavery to death. You want something new. Well, God has it for you. You just need to receive it. Confess to Him your desire of that risen life. Pray to Him. Confess your sin to Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And step in the way that leads to newness of life. That's my invitation to you today. We're going to close out our service this morning with communion. And I know you're already looking at the clocks. You're thinking, how are we going to do this, Jimmy? We'll be here all day. Well, we have it all worked out. Trust us. So I just want you to not worry about those things. And instead, I want to invite you to put your focus on Christ and what He has for you. And as you come to receive communion this morning, just tell Him what you need Him to do in your life. And trust Him and receive it. Today, the table that we are setting and offering to you is for everyone that is here, not just for those who are members of this church. So if you're seeking God's grace today, His presence, then you're invited to come. If you want to meet Jesus, then you come to His table this morning. Well, we want to certainly thank our choir and orchestra for making our worship very, very wonderful today. What some great music we've had. Thank y'all for being in worship today. Go in the peace of Christ, and may you have a great Easter Sunday, because He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. God bless you.